Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, everybody. This is Daniel Stern here. I'm the author of the now-released book, Swingland, Between the Sheets of the Secretive, Sometimes Messy but Always Adventurous Swinging Lifestyle, published by Simon & Schuster. And with me to talk and educate everybody are Megan Lynn and Wade Solomon. They are a married television writing team. They've written on a number of network and cable one-hour drama series, including Saving Grace, Against the Wall, Cult, and currently they're writing for The Fosters, which is on ABC Family. They also wanted me to mention that they have a puppy named Margot who is barely, very poorly behaved. So I guess if you hear any barking in the background, we'll know what's going on there. So thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Dan.
Yeah, very excited. Absolutely. And I'm sitting here with Margot, who is destroying a toy. So hopefully that will keep her from interrupting the chat.
And just so we can give a visual here, what kind of breed is Margot?
She's about 25 pounds of terrier mix.
Ah, so it sounds like a vicious animal.
A total beast.
Okay, so perfect for Wayne.
Well, you described.
So again, thank you guys for joining. I'm curious because I have never written for television, and you guys have obviously done a lot of it. What, being that you guys are a team, do you guys have a process that you follow with all the things that you write, or is it sort of you take it as it comes?
I think it probably started as, you know, it was a little more fly, you know, like, take it as you come, sort of from, you know, fries in the seat of our pants. Is that the right metaphor? I think it is.
Yeah, we'll go with it, sure.
I think I would say it has evolved kind of into a steady, structured process that we have. What we tend to do is, the shows are either five acts or six acts, so we'll each take three acts. Or if it's five, we'll take two and a half. And we like to intersperse them. Like I'll write, like Megan always writes one and three and five. I always write two, four, and six. That way we're both involved in the story. And we write our half, and then when we talk to each other and rip each other apart. It's very healthy.
Now, before you take those acts, do you guys, is the story already broken down with you, I'm assuming, in the showrunner, so you know your outline before you go in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it varies from show to show because, you know, some shows, it's something that you'll kind of get a loose construct from the room. You have an idea of what's going to happen, but you're given it with the idea of you're going to have a lot of work to do on your own to kind of make sure it really kind of works. And those fixes are things that you're responsible for. And, you know, it's something you kind of have to work on and really fine-tune on your own. You know, other shows, people are much more serious about making sure that when a story leaves the room, it is, you know, absolutely set. It has every kind of beat of every scene worked out. I mean, there's always going to be something to fix. But, you know, it varies from show to show how much autonomy you have. But just as a team writing our own stuff, we break every story together, and we really, really make sure we're both invested in the entire story, not just the stuff that we're going to have to write.
Okay, and with television, what kind of deadlines are you working with? How long do you have to go from, okay, they hand off the story to you, and you sit down to start writing the actual script? Is it a couple of weeks? Is it a month?
Oh, it's usually much shorter than that. I mean, we're actually in the middle of it right now, and we've been outlining. So, you know, we turned around the first draft of our outline in 2 days, and then we just did a revision pass in about 2 days. And when we finally go to script, we'll probably have four or five to get a draft in.
Okay.
And that's pretty good. I mean, on our last show, we had probably only about 2.5 or 3 days, and it was a holiday weekend, so we pretty much spent that whole time writing.
Wow, that's, I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, compared to my book, I mean, 2.5 days, I mean, maybe I'll get, like, most of a chapter done, if I'm lucky, on a first draft. You guys have to have the whole script. And if you're on an hour long, I mean, that's 60 pages, right? Is it, it's a minute a page, or is it 30 seconds a page?
It's about a minute a page. I would say the scripts come in somewhere between 50 to 56 pages.
Okay.
More talkative shows will be a little longer. Yeah, and it a lot of times, like, that's sort of the timetable that we're given. If we're early in the rotation and they haven't started shooting yet, we'll get a little more time. We've had where they are, like, shooting in 3 days. So at that point, you just turn in what you got.
What's interesting about it, too, is as a team, I think the impression is that we can do it faster. And to a certain extent, we can. We can get the actual scenes written faster because there's two of us. But because we have to do the second step of combing through the entire script, making sure the voice is unified, making sure we haven't been redundant and, you know, written something that the other one wrote in another scene, it really does end up taking as much time, I think, as one person would, or close to it.
Okay, yeah, because you got to meld those two brains at some point, and it takes a little, you know, juking back and forth to get it to work.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten better at it. You know, I think that our notes sessions have gotten, you know, we joke that we rip each other apart, but I think we've gotten a lot better about it, and also better at approximating each other's voices, you know, as we've gone on.
Okay, and now, you know,
the more experience we get, yeah, like in the early days, it was really frustrating, and I think now we have it down a little more to a system. So, but yeah, those early days, because we are married, it was very quickly the creative differences turned into marital differences. So, but I think we've gotten a lot better at figuring that out and keeping the two separate.
Yeah, that's something I was going to ask you guys because, you know, you've been married. What have you been married? 10 years now? A little longer?
Coming up on 9.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously you've got it down, and it hasn't detrimentally affected you guys with regards to your relationship, which is always nice because I know that in the past when I've written with somebody, we've definitely been at odds at certain points. But then again, you know, we weren't sleeping in the same bed. So that definitely puts a new level of tension in there should those disagreements come to pass.
Based on your book, you might have been. So,
yeah, you know, I like where you're going with that.
Well, it's interesting, you know, Dan, because
I'm so excited
to
read it, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's interesting, Dan, because we all used to write sketch comedy, and I think at one point maybe all in the same group, and that's how Wade and I started writing together, was writing sketch. And when you're writing sketch with someone, it's 5 pages, and you can sit there and, you know, argue every line and write it together. And when we first started writing TV, that was the method we brought to it, and very quickly it was such a disaster to be writing, you know, 60 pages line by line, you know, each of us having to agree on every part.
Yeah, I can imagine. And one thing I would think that maybe not so much now, but definitely at the beginning, is every writer's got their unique, distinct voice. And to have two people, and if you're not going line by line, how you sort of smooth that out, if you're, you know, if each of you has a different act, have you found that individually you've sort of molded what was your voice to sort of match up with your partner?
A little bit. I think one of the things that really works for us, and this is probably true of most TV writing teams, is when we came to the partnership, we had very different strengths. And Wade has a much better understanding of structure and being able to track a story, making sure a character's emotions are really kind of something that you can follow the entire way through and they make sense. And I was coming to it, I think, with a much, like, voicier dialogue type of strength. And as we've worked together, we've kind of both improved, you know, with the other one's skill and met each other halfway. But I think it helped, and Wade, forgive me if I'm wrong, that, like, I don't think you were the voiciest writer to begin with.
No. No, I think the best writing partnerships are always going to be where you complement each other, and one person's strength is the other person's weakness, and vice versa. I can see that if two people come to the table and they have the same strengths, they're going to both try to flex their muscle, and that, you know, that could be, I think, where the conflict helps. And, you know, it was one of those things, we dated first, and then we wrote together second, and it started out with Megan just giving notes, or me giving her notes, and then we kind of realized that it did work organically, and it did work naturally, and we were complimenting each other as opposed to stifling each other. So, yeah, I think that's one reason it's worked for us, at least, that and the marital vows.
I'm glad you guys took those seriously.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
So, question, I've been asking people this, you know, now that my book is out, what was your response or your reaction when you learned of the topic of my book? Did you expect something like that?
Dan, I don't know if you remember several months ago when I asked what you were doing, and you said you had written a book, and I think I asked the natural question, which is, so what's it about? And you just went silent. And I assumed you were, like, writing for the government. It was very weird. I was like, why the secrecy? This is, you know, can you give me a genre? No. Can you give, okay.
I got nonfiction. I think he did at least give us that. But it was there was a lot of speculation, like, what is he up to? And then when we found out, I remember, I think I saw something on Facebook, and Wade and I, at that point, we weren't on a show, so we weren't, you know, spending the entire day together as we are right now. And I came home, and I was like, did you see Facebook today? And he hadn't. So I got to find it and pull it up, and we were both just like, oh, my God. So, I mean, it was a shock. I'm going to be honest. I assume that most people have had that reaction, Dan.
Yeah.
No?
And,
yeah?
No, absolutely. You are correct. And there's a certain gratification, for some reason, I get just from causing that shock. You know, that wasn't why I wrote it, but I do like the reaction that it was just so unexpected. And so, yeah, I mean, and so far, too, I've said this to, you know, the interviews I've been giving, the people say, what's the reaction? I said, you know, it was shock, but everybody's been very supportive, which is very helpful and, you know, in some respects, for some people, unexpected. And I don't know if that says, you know, more that to the quality of those people or that I'm too nervous about life in general. Which may be probably a little bit
of just yeah, don't think that everyone's open minded. I've been judging you pretty openly. So
and that's why I love you, Wade.
Yeah,
Wade's been calling upon that. I would say Wade's been calling upon that, you know, fundamentalist upbringing to No, I will say, although I was stunned, Dan, I feel like my second reaction was, well, he's very outgoing.
So this makes perfect sense.
Exactly. I mean, it was only a matter of time.
And I gotta be honest. I, you know, knowing the author of this book makes it very strange. But assuming, you know, like most people who are going to read this book who don't know you, like if I didn't know you, I'm obviously knowing you, I'm going to read it with a certain, you know, a certain perspective. But that's something I would love. Like, what an amazing world that has never really been explored. Like, I would be, you know, I will be fascinated to read it. And even if I didn't know you, I guess is what I'm saying. That,
well, thank you very much. I actually take that as a big compliment. So
yeah, it gives me a different perspective on it, given that I've been to parties with you. But I don't think I've been to space.
Very different. Let's clarify what kind of parties.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to Wake Forest, and I don't remember anything like that. But I'll think
no.
Harder.
That definitely did not happen at Wake Forest.
Okay.
But yeah,
I don't know how the
chicken would respond to that.
if we were back there, Dean, who was our dean when we were there? Dean, it wasn't Hatch, it was before Hatch. Who was our dean?
D.K. Hearn?
Oh, yeah, Dean, yeah. I don't know if he would have been too receptive to know that one of the students was engaging in all of that. But that might have been because the school was founded by the Baptists.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to the, you know, the big cover story on the Wake Forest magazine.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll happen, but it would be interesting if it did.
I'm cheering for you.
For you, Dan.
What's that?
So you said most of the reaction has been positive. Have you gotten any negative reaction, either from people you know or maybe anonymous people online? Or
It's anonymous people online, of course. It, you know, there'll be an article, and you go down to the comments, and it'll be, oh, what a slime ball, and he's just bragging about his sexual prowess. And what I want to say is, if you've read the book, you'll obviously know that's not what's going on, because I'm very candid about how much I sucked.
That's hilarious.
There have been a couple people that I know. What's that?
Yeah, but most of those comments were not me, so.
That's good. But it's funny, like, from the people who've read it, the minority are critical of it. Overall, people really do like it. But, you know, there's always going to – if I didn't piss some people off, I wouldn't have written it right.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I imagine it's a very polarizing subject. So, yeah, if people aren't a little offended, there's a problem with that. So
we did not offer free copies to the 700 Club. We just figured they wouldn't want it.
wrapped it into one of our ABC Family episodes. So that's a spoiler alert.
You know, foster kids love to read is what I hear.
Yes.
How is that show going, by the way? Like, how many episodes? Because you're in your first season, correct?
We are, but the first 10 have already aired. ABC Family does like a season 1A, season 1B type of thing. Like, they'll do 10, have a hiatus, then come back. So we didn't work on the first 10. We've been brought in for the second. So it's actually really exciting for us because it's a show – strangely, this is where I have to admit that I pretty much watch everything on ABC Family and the CW because I'm like a 15-year-old girl still. It was a show that we already watched because I started watching it and I went, well, I think actually Wade would like this one. And so he picked it up too. It's really great. I mean, it's kind of one of those shows that I think I love it because it's not high concept. It's really just a family drama, and there's not a lot of that on anymore. And it just addresses some neat stuff, and it can be very emotional. And every time it feels like it's going to veer into after school special kind of territory, there's a twist on it that takes you somewhere else. So it's fun. It's fun to be on a show that we were already fans of.
Yeah, that sounds really nice. Now,
yeah. Instead of something that you're, you know, is brand new, that you're like, oh, God, I hope that it does okay and the cancellation bear doesn't tweet about me.
And there's already that backstory with the characters, but then also you have sort of a built-in audience so that you have a little stability there.
That's the hope, yeah. That's a rare gift in television.
Not the one word, but yes.
Yeah. It's the rare gift in television, and now I guess the goal is for us not to screw our part up.
That's fine. Now, just because you had mentioned, you know, you're a 15-year-old girl, for people who are still trying to break in, you know, mm-hmm. Specifically, I guess, to television, but just writing in the entertainment industry in general, was there anything in your experience that you feel was the key to you having success in it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's you know, it's tough. It's so different for everyone. I know that film, I mean, and Dan, you have some experience with this. I it blows my mind trying to be a film writer. That is so crazy. I mean, it's like so many things are bought, but so few get made. And you know, even if it gets made, does it get distributed? I mean, there's just so much to it that I don't understand, so I can't speak to that at all. But the nice thing about TV is that there's a bit of a hierarchy to it. You know, a lot of people don't do it this way, but one kind of way to do it is to work as support staff on shows, get to know writers, you know, become someone who they trust and they like, who they would want to maybe help read a script, something like that, and eventually put yourself in a position to be offered a freelance, even if you're not on staff, because it's something the Writers Guild has built in as a protection to bring new people in that, you know, shows have to offer a certain amount of freelance scripts out every season, generally speaking. I mean, there's ways around it. That's the idea. And because they have to, they usually want someone who they know, who's around, who they can keep an eye on, to be honest, to do that script. So, you know, if you're a writer's assistant, script coordinator, you know, anything like that, that's kind of a nice way in. And that's the way it worked for Wade and I. Wade was working on Saving Grace, and the woman who created that, Nancy Miller, who is, I mean, just our hero, just an angel, I think, because she really cares about helping younger writers and giving them a hand up, gave us our first opportunity. And then once you get that opportunity, you know, don't mess up is the second bit of advice, I guess. Wade, would you agree with all that?
No, I would definitely agree with all that. And, you know, I always hate to say it because it just sounds so trite, but it really is, you just want to meet a lot of people who do it. You want to work with them because it is one of those things that you just kind of, you know, you write on your own and you hope people will recognize it, but the best way to get recognized is to work around it, even if you're not writing initially, just to know that world, know how it works. Eventually we got our shot and we didn't screw it up. So, it's like so many people will ask like how you do it. And like the way I did it was kind of a bizarre path. And I think if you ask anyone, it was all kind of a non-traditional bizarre path because there really isn't a path. But that was sort of the common denominator is you don't work in a vacuum. You get around the people who do it and you learn from them and you hope and pray that someone gives you that shot.
You put yourself in a position to be lucky. That's like a terrible bit of advice because how do you do that? But you put yourself in a position to be lucky and you make sure that when you are, you have the material to back it up.
As well, too, is like there would be people who, like, when I first got out here, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to impress that person. And usually that doesn't work. It almost has to be a very organic organic process. Like, I think we just kind of eventually came across people who we got along with and we were a lot like and we had a lot in common. And I think that's where it just sort of the opportunities grew from. So I would never advise to any new writer just to go out and, like, schmooze with people you hate.
Yeah, one thing that Megan was talking about, how, you know, everyone's got their sort of weird circuitous route that gets you in, and they're great stories, but I also think that that's what gives you all of the material that you write about later, because I know that all the stuff that I write about comes from odd experiences that I've had, you know, whether it's been in screenplays or whatever, and it took me a while to realize that, to go, oh, okay, so this is why I didn't sell that, or this is why this didn't get made, or this is so forth and so on. And I'm so happy now because now I have this huge backlog of life experience that I can bring to the writing that I didn't have when I was 22. You know, now that I'm 23, it's great.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a lot older. I'm 26. So that's absolutely true. Like, I always get excited /jealous/angry when I hear about the wonder kid who, like, at age 23, like, saw the show or something. And, you know, there is always that part of me that it's like a lot of writing is the life experience. That said, you know, and a lot of the younger people do have talent and they'll get the life experience, but I personally am thankful that I was able to, by the time people were actually paying any attention to me, I had a lot more to write about, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing, Megan, had said where, to put yourself in the position and have the material, because that was when I started writing this book. I thought, you know, at the very least, I can just publish it on my own. I can, you know, do an ebook or something. But when I queried agents, the one agency I really wanted, I thought, oh, I'll just say I applied to it. They won't respond. They actually responded, and I had the whole manuscript. And I sent it, and within 2 hours, they said, okay, let's do this. And it is because I was ready. And
yeah, I think very often people handle the social element before they get their ducks in a row, and that becomes a problem, because if people don't know that you're going to deliver, then why would they take you seriously, really?
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with that, and it's a weird, because everybody wants to know, okay, what's the line I have to follow in order to get to where I want to go? And when I started writing, I didn't know I was going to write books and enjoy the process. Like, you know, Wade said, we come from sketch comedy and then screenwriting. And somehow I ended up in books. And I really do enjoy it. I mean, it's been a very great experience. I mean, Wade, all I remember, you were always doing screenplays. Was television something you wanted to do, or something that just kind of came about through whatever your life path was and you just took to it?
You know, honestly, a little of both. When I first came out here, I was, totally like, oh, I only want to do movies. I only want to do screenplays. That was also the late 90s, where I feel like everyone and their mom was writing an indie feature. We all wanted to be Tarantino. and I think I found, as Megan was saying earlier, TV had a little more of a defined path. Like, telling a screenplay to me always felt like winning the lottery, where working on TV was still the lottery, but it was like the 4 or 5 number one, not the 6 or 7 one with the Powerball. it seemed a little more defined. So in terms of opportunity, I was interested, but I also sort of found that I wasn't really drawn to the really high concept stuff. I really appreciated and enjoyed writing character stuff and stories that unfold a little more slowly. So at that point, I was like, I think my writing strengths, and I kind of learned this because I did a graduate film program, I kind of learned that there, that I was like, I don't know if I'm a great feature writer, but I think I have a pretty good handle on the TV stuff. So, it was sort of like, that's where I kind of went creatively, but also, in all honesty, I understood that path a little better.
And then, Megan, because you also have sketch comedy, but how did you make the leap from sketch comedy to television?
It's funny. I wrote a screenplay in college, did a sketch comedy group, came out to L.A. and did more sketch comedy. And I think the idea for me was always, well, I want to write television comedy, either a sketch show, because, of course, I grew up a huge Kids in the Hall fan and The State and all that, and the golden age of television sketch, which kind of has maybe made a comeback. But, I wanted to do that. And so Wade and I, when we started writing, we were writing Half Hour. And pretty soon into that, we transitioned into dramas because we realized it was all we were watching. Just because, again, we loved the character stuff. We loved the time you could take with everyone. We realized also, from a career standpoint, it's just kind of more fun being the funny people in a drama room than competing than competing with all the comedians in the comedy room. It was kind of a similar, a pretty organic transition, that it went from, kind of writing these absurdist 5-minute things to half-hour comedy, and then to, let's just full-on do television drama. What's weird, though, is the first thing we wrote together was a Gilmore Girls spec, which I feel like I'm really kind of outing
yourself.
Ways television.
Hitting yourself,
ourselves, and also being like, everyone, Wait, adult male Wade really loved the Gilmore Girls. Anyways.
Well, now I write on a show about teenage girls because I am the voice of America's youth. I don't know how that happened, but like Megan, I am also a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah. So that was kind of like a gate. I feel like that was a gateway show for us because it was such a funny show that we could write it and still feel like we're writing comedy, and we kind of just went from there. I don't know.
Okay. You know, it's something that people ask me, you know, how did you write a book? And because honestly, like when I started, I went, wow, because I thought that what I wanted to do was a book, because I was going to do it as a pilot episode, and I thought, it doesn't quite work. And, you know, it's a more internal journey than external. And
yeah.
I thought, man, a book, that is a huge freaking undertaking. How do I get my head around that? And what I found that I ended up doing was I fell back to sketch comedy, which was, even though we were doing, like you said, Megan, those five-page things, they all had a very specific structure. They had a beginning, middle, and end. And I thought, okay, well, let's just write these individual stories as short stories, and then let's see how to string them together. And I found that because I had that sketch comedy background, that was, you know, it's such a concise way to present a story that I was able to build up into an actual book. I think that,
yeah.
What's that?
I think I would say that's super. That's very interesting because I do always wonder, you know, writing something that has such a, you know, 44 minutes and six acts and, you know, make sure that they're all about this amount of pages. I mean, there's a lot of TV that's kind of math. And the thing that's interesting to me about writing a book is, right, how do you, the magnitude of it and, you know, each chapter needing its own journey, but all of it fitting into one larger journey. But that's interesting, that parallel sketch to writing a book. I don't know. I mean, I wonder, Wade, do you feel like we use sketch at all anymore? I feel like we sadly don't.
Well, I mean, I would hope in our drama we have funny moments. So in that way, we, you know, I would like to think we honed our comic timing there, which helps us. But it is true, Dan, that I've never really thought of it that way. But sketch, one skill you do get from that is the ability to tell a full story in three or four pages.
Yeah, it's a very economic way to tell a story. And it's not to say that the shorter means the shallower the story. It's just you get to it really quick. I mean, Mamet says you enter a scene after it starts and you exit the scene before it ends. And I kind of feel like sketch comedy was that, you know, you enter with a bang, you get to the point, you get through it and you get out. Cause anything that kind of, you watch Saturday Night Live and you'll see a sketch every so often you'll go, wow, that's just, that they got to end that. Let's get out of this. And
I think that would be probably, and I'm sure they would admit it's probably 75% of their sketches.
I don't throw stones.
as a sidebar, that's why, I don't know if you ever saw Stella. It was Michael Ian Black, and David Wayne. They did these Stella shorts. They had a show on Comedy Central, but first they just put out a DVD where they just did sketches. They would shoot them like in an hour on a Saturday, and half the sketches they would just end. Because it was time to end them, but they didn't have a way to. I think that's what their problem is on SNL. It's like, you need to end it, but you need a button. You need a way, something to put at the end. So they would just end half their sketches in the Stella shorts by going, yay, we did it, and then ending it.
and all of the writers that were watching got it, and nobody else did.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, it's over. Yay. And just walk away from it.
Yeah, those guys never really had much success outside of other writers, I think. But,
yeah.
It's hilarious.
That's funny. Well, I really enjoyed talking with you guys. And when is The Fosters on? What day? You know, it's ABC Family, but day and time?
We are on hiatus now. New episodes return in January. We just started shooting them this week, the first episode. Megan, do you know what night of the week it airs? I know this is terrible.
I think Monday's at 8. I'm pretty sure it's Mondays at 8. This is
Mondays
where,
at 8?
Yeah.
We're in the modern generation, so our DVR picks it up, and then I watch it sometime each week. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Which episode or episodes are you guys doing? Do you know?
As of right now, and all of this is subject to change, we are writing the 5th episode of the new season.
Great.
So
everybody should watch that.
I hear it's really, everything's subject to change.
And I hear that it's the way to maximize enjoyment of watching The Fosters is to be reading Swingland while you're watching it.
It definitely will give it a different perspective, but yes, no, in terms of self-promoing, it's the best idea ever.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for
done.
So thanks so much for giving us your time and your knowledge. Anything else you guys want to say before we give it a close out?
Mostly just thanks for having us, and big congrats to you. We're very excited.
Thank you so much, guys.
I second that. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Divided by 2.